Jesus Christ knew who he was, and that really just emphasizes the fact that he emptied himself. I wish we knew who we were half the time, right? Our main occupation is trying to figure out who God says we are and to believe it. How can I be a humble servant unless I think I'm great in the eyes of God, right?
Yeah,
he declares us to be the sons of God, and we think it's robbery. We think, how dare you call us the son of God? I'm just a humble, stupid person. That's not the point, is it?
No. Ephesians says we're blessed with all blessings and celestial places. We're the creatures, we're the people who have the highest blessings, but we shouldn't deem it pillaging. We should accept it. And in view of that, we should humble ourselves and serve others. And that's the point of Philippians 2, where Christ deemed it not to be pillaging, to be equal with God. And what does God say about us? That we're joint heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
We shouldn't shrink from that. And I think there's an example in this passage in Philippians 2, in John 13, that would help us explain what it meant, where Christ said, when he was in the form of God, he deems it not pillaging to be equal with God. And I think we have it here in John 13. Shall we turn there, Mr. Zender?
Bring it to us.
Okay, John chapter 13.
We didn't even introduce ourselves.
Can you do me a favor? Play, hey, Duke, play the mood music. Can we have mood music?
Mood music.
All right, there's no mood music?
Oh, right. No, he said he does have some mood music.
What are we going to
play?
He's
going to cue it up right now.
All right.
It's going to be some nice little piano thing.
Okay, you ready?
Right,
all right, here we go.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's nice, isn't it?
Oh,
you like
beautiful.
That?
Beautiful.
I like the undertones.
Undertone time. Okay,
yes.
Here we go. You ready?
Okay.
Let me get on my red smoking jacket.
And I shall fetch my pipe.
Wait okay, John chapter 13. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus, being aware, he had full awareness.
Where are you?
John 13. Would you get with the
13
program?
13 what?
Where are you at?
I'm still in Philippians.
John 13. What are you reading the Apocrypha for?
Know.
Turn to John 13.
Okay,
put the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition away. That's
all
not
right,
time
sorry.
For this. John chapter 13. I'll start over for the... Martin Zender crowd. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus, being aware that his hour came, that he may be proceeding out of this world to the Father, loving his own who are in the world, he loves them to the consummation. And at the coming of dinner, the adversary already having cast into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, that he may be giving him up, Jesus, being aware that the Father has given all into his hands, and that he came out from God and is going away to God, is rising from dinner and laying down his garments and getting a cloth, he girds himself. Thereafter, he is draining water into the basin and begins washing the feet of the disciples and wiping them off with the cloth with which he was girded. And that's kind of an example of what he did in Philippians. He's fully aware of who he is.
You can stop the music now.
Yeah, stop the music, yeah.
All right, thank you. Go
fully
ahead.
Fully aware of his glory that is his from his Father, right? And yet being aware of it, what does he do?
He empties himself.
He serves him. He washes feet. And so in Philippians 2, when it says he deems it not pillaging, he was fully aware of who he was. He didn't think there was nothing wrong with it. But what does he do? He does the opposite of what mankind does. Having that great glory, he serves others. He emptied himself. And I think that, and Paul gives that in Philippians 2. It's an example to us. You and I, remember, if you're a believer in Christ and his death burial, you believe Paul's evangel, you're the future ruler of the universe. And yet, knowing that, being aware of that, accepting that, you serve others.
Yeah, it's ironic that we have to build ourselves and others up first. We have to convince other people that this is what God thinks of them, right?
Right.
Most believers go around all feeling low and moping and they're under it and they just feel like they're broken, and we do need to get there. You could say, well, Martin, they're already broken, they're already low. But no, they're on the wrong side of being low. They're low because they don't see their worth in God. So they need to go two more steps. We do need to become low, but first we need to understand our place in Christ. Does that make sense? Because you're low for the wrong reason.
Right.
Now, so we bring people to an understanding of the treasures that we have, being blessed with all spiritual blessings among the celestials, and we pump everybody up. It's like, don't you know how God sees you? He sees you as justified. He's conciliated. You're at peace. And we get people all happy, and then we say, okay, did you get that? Yes. Are you totally happy? Yes. Do you feel full and exalted in Christ? Yes. Okay, now humble your sorry ass. Right now. Now you got to humble yourself. What? You just got me exalted. Yes, but now
yeah.
You're intelligently humbled. You're intelligently humbled. You're not stupidly humbled. You're not humbled like, oh, woe is me, I'm a no good person. Now you realize who you are, and that's what the lesson of Philippians is. Now you can intelligently humble
it's not yourself. It's not a false humility like Paul warned us of in Colossians.
Yeah, it's a false humility, right? So it's so great to realize who you are and then to serve and to be low. And I think that's, you see this example in Ephesians with husbands and wives. It's the same example. What does God do? He makes the husband the head of the wife. Mm-hmm. So the husband goes, I'm the head of the family. I'm the head. Woman, I'll explain this to you after you make me dinner, you know, and the men get the wrong idea. That's, to me, that's the equivalent of being humble without understanding. So God gives this man, and then he says, now that you understand your headship, now that you understand the exalted place you have in the marriage, now you humble yourself. Now you humble yourself. And it's more stunning, it's more meaningful if you're doing it in light of who you are. Wow, he's the head of his family. And look what he's doing. He's serving his wife. And wow, look at Christ. He is equal with God. He's in the form of God, and yet he humbles himself.
And that's, it's amazing when you look at like Ephesians. And again, the reason why we're discussing this side of things, we're talking about Christ and his relation to the Father, how important it is. But when Paul brings this up in Philippians 2, there's a context. And the reason why we want to talk this way is because Philippians 2 has been so misinterpreted to try to teach the so-called the deity of Christ or the Trinity or something like that. But Paul's whole purpose in this passage is to teach us a lesson of humility and service to others. And you can only serve others properly first when you recognize your exalted position in Christ. And in recognizing that, it gives you God's Spirit works in you to serve others. And in Philippians, it starts off, we're blessed with every blessing that can be called spiritual among the celestials. No other people have been like that. How does Ephesians end?
Yeah.
Where does it end?
In among the celestials.
Now, look how Ephesians ends. It ends with something so homely, so down to earth. And it says this, that the Apostle Paul says in verse 21 of chapter 6, now that you may also may be acquainted with my affairs and what is engaging me, all will be known to you by Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful servant in the Lord. We start off with all spiritual blessings, and we end up with, what's going on with you, Paul? What's going on with your life? What's going on there? How you doing? Are you well taken care of? You got food on the table? So it's like carrying the atmosphere of glory down to the kitchen table, to the commonplace. And that's what we're called to do.
Yeah, and the thing is, you should never lose the consciousness of that glory. In fact, it just gives meaning to your service. And you just read that epicness in Ephesians chapter 1 about blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. And then in Philippians, Paul starts this way, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Slaves? I thought we were blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials. I thought he seats us among the celestials in Christ. Well, Paul was a slave, and it's interesting that Jesus, our Lord, and our back in our key passage in Philippians 2, he said he took the form of a slave.
Yes.
He wasn't a slave, but he took the form of a slave. You know, so I went a husband, going back to that example, a husband serving a wife, he's not a slave, but he takes the form of a slave or the form of a servant. And Christ was a servant, but he was certainly not a slave. But he is our example in all these things.
It's, and to compare Ephesians with Philippians, because Ephesians presents what's true of all of us, right? We have an expectation of our calling, Ephesians 1, right? Philippians emphasizes not the expectation, but the prize of our high calling. In Ephesians, Paul says we have boldness. We have confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does Philippians emphasize it? Fear and trembling. Different aspect. Mm. You know, there's two different sides being emphasized here. And this, again, the whole point of Philippians 2, Christ's exalted position and in empty himself is with the view of encouraging us to serve others. We can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, the whole examples here. I think I'd like to, as we finish up this show, talk about all the ways he was equal with God, what
Let's
that means. Because, and again, I want to really emphasize this, the word equality proves that God and Christ are two different beings. God is equal to Christ. Christ is equal to God. That proves that they're two separate beings. And I know that sounds bizarre because this verse is used by Trinitarians and modalists to say that they're one. But if you have an equal sign, you have to have two sides. It doesn't make sense. You can't be equal to yourself. He was worthy to take the titles of God.
Yep.
How many times have you had that pointed out to you that, well,
Thomas said, my Lord and my God.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the one I was thinking of. And Jesus didn't say, don't call me that. He was worthy to take the titles of God. So in that sense, he was equal with God, equal to take the titles.
And in John chapter 5, we read this. Jesus said, verily, verily, I'm saying to you, the Son can not be doing anything of himself if it is not what he should be observing the Father doing. For whatever he may be doing, this the Son also is doing likewise. They're equal in purpose. They have the same goal. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. They're on the same page, as it were. Christ and his Father are on the same page.
Yep. People say, well, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you don't worship Jesus Christ. You say, yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We do worship Jesus Christ. Well, how can you do that? Because he's the image of the invisible God, and he himself said, I'm equal to God. You worship me, it's the same as worshiping the Father. And so, one, he's worthy to take the titles of God. Don't let that cause you to stumble. It has to do with this equality. And two, we can pray to him, address him as God, pray to him, worship him. We're not taking anything away from Jesus Christ. As we said last week, the people who try to make him God, they're the ones taking away from him, the ones that try to make him the same being as God. They take away this lowering. They take away this humility. They take away this immense sacrifice of Christ being equal with God, yet humbling himself.
I heard somebody mock our belief.
You're
by saying...
kidding. Who would do something like that?
By saying, oh, you heard the crude illustration that when Christ died, that God cannot die. And they thought that was our crude illustration. Well, and he never went on to explain it. God can't die. Now explain it. If Christ died and God can't die, please explain it. Well, how do they explain it? They have to explain it away with a Trinity or modalism, or it's a different mode or something like that. And so they may mock us, but we're going through Scripture line by line here and showing it's impossible that Jesus and the Father are the same. They can't be the same in, what's the word, in essence or whatever the terminology
you want.
In substance.
People take this word form here, Dan, all the time, and they think that means in substance.
The word form
itself.
In the itself.
Form of God. They say, and the creeds make it in the substance. He's the very substance of God. Crazy stuff you read from the Westminster Confession or whatever.
Yeah, right.
No, it's the opposite. It's form is the opposite of substance. It's the form. It's an image. Form and image. Form and image. 2 Corinthians 4:4, image. Philippians 2:5, form. 2:6 here. So.
And no one has seen God ever. No one.
No one.
You can't see him.
You can't.
No one ever will. But as you pointed out very eloquently.
I'm sure it was.
Is that we will not be disappointed when we see Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We will not be disappointed. And even at the end, at the consummation, when Christ delivers up the kingdom to his God and Father, and he subjects himself, we still won't see God. God will be all in all. Something about that time period at the end, when everyone is vivified and justified, is going to be so wonderful. It'll be his aura, you know, around us. We won't need to see him,
because
we'll never see him. But it'll be wonderful all the same.
I hope you're following us here, folks. If you're not, write Dan Sheridan, and he'll answer all your questions. I'm hoping to talk about...
I'm going to hand him over to Duke. He'll answer.
Hand him over to Duke. He'll answer. I'm hoping to talk about the preexistence of Christ. Maybe I can talk Dan into...
Ooh.
Yes, the preexistence of Christ.
The preexistence.
Right. This is important. Some people think that Jesus Christ did not exist until he was born in Bethlehem. But that's not true. Some of his greatest glories are, again, he emptied himself twice. Going to look at this. Two emptyings, all part of the kenosis of Christ. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to be back here tomorrow with my friend Dan Sheridan, and we're going to give you more truth, God willing.